Vocatus atque non vocatus, Deus aderit. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. This quote, found among the Latin jottings of Renaissance scholar Erasmus, was popularized in its English translation by psychologist Carl Jung, who had it inscribed both over the front door of his home and later on his tombstone. And it serves as a thread that weaves our scripture passages from 1 Samuel, the Psalms, and the Gospel into something more than any of them are by themselves, teaching us about listening, knowing, and encountering God. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Now, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The same could be said of our times, but this observation sets the stage for the beginning of a shift of power for the people of Israel, one which will ultimately lead to a line of kings, for it will be Samuel who anoints first Saul and then later King David. But today, we are at the ironical and amusing, yet still powerful beginning of one of the great stories in the Bible, when the boy Samuel first encounters the Lord. Now, the irony comes from the fact that God's voice was so apparently unexpected in the temple, of all places. And the amusement comes from the play on words that is only evident in the Hebrew. Now, the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, which means God has heard. And Samuel responds, "Here I am," and runs to the priest named Eli, which means my God. And so three times we see this happen. God calls out, "God has heard," even though Samuel really hasn't, because he runs to my God, not realizing the true God that it is calling him. It is only after God speaks repeatedly that Eli's wisdom wakes up and he realizes what is happening. And so he instructs the boy that when God calls him again, he should answer, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that's what Samuel does, because God did call him again. In the stillness of the night, with darkness encroaching, though the lamp of the God has not yet gone out, God was finally heard. We don't always recognize it. We often don't hear, let alone listen, but God is always present and always ready to start the conversation, calling us into a new thing, bidden or unbidden. O God, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. No matter the translation, the NRSV, the Book of Common Prayer, the Runaway Bunny, or the St. Helena Psalter, which we sang from today, the intensity and intimacy of this scripture passage is awesome. More than one writer has called Psalm 139 a creation psalm, not one about the vast mysteries of the heavens and earth, or even the wondrous, marvelous workings of nature around us. No, this creation is God's own ongoing work in bringing us to fullness of life, the unwrapping of the mystery of each of us as unique individuals, as children of God. To me, this psalm feels like a warm embrace, bringing comfort and giving strength. The words express an intimate knowledge and involvement of God in our lives. Here, names are not necessary. almost every verse contains pronouns referring to both the psalmist, I, my, me, and to God, you and your. They are intertwined in such a way that God is the very context of the psalmist's life, and indeed ours as well. And yet there is an edge to it, is there not, that's nearly overwhelming. We are fully known. There's not a word on our lips that God does not know. God is always present, pressing upon us from behind and before. There is nowhere we can go to escape God. We omitted the middle portion of this psalm today, verses 6 through 11. They read, "Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me turn to night, darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike." Yes, Psalm 139 speaks of the one who created us, who knows us fully and loves us unceasingly, but it also reminds us of the easy to overlook but powerful truth that God is always with us in all that we do and wherever it is that we go, bidden or unbidden. Follow me, come and see. We walked through Advent together, celebrating a season of anticipation and preparation. We rejoiced through Christmas together, celebrating the mystery of the incarnation, the birth of God with us. We've welcomed the Magi once again at Epiphany, celebrating also the gift of water and baptism. And now we have this green season of ordinary days before the start of Lent, in which we get to explore the manifestation of Jesus, stories that began with his baptism last week and that will lead us deeper into the knowledge of who he was and how he was among us. And so today we hear from the Gospel of John about Jesus calling disciples. This calling begins in verse 35 with the calling of Andrew and Simon Peter, and continues now today with the story of Philip and Nathanael. As far as action goes, there's not a lot in this story. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And that's it. And that was somehow enough. It was enough for him to go and find Nathanael, to tell him about this Jesus and to say, "Come and see." Now, Nathanael was skeptical. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But when he saw Jesus, and Jesus knew him upon sight, Nathanael too believed, and proclaimed Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel. What led these men to make such a radical decision to come and see and to follow? We read of no miracle or sign that Jesus performed, nor was there any teaching. In this account, it seems to be enough that they encountered Jesus, even if they weren't expecting it. When have you encountered Christ? Where? Is it a story you can tell, or was it a stirring in your heart? How has your life changed in the least expected of ways, bidden or unbidden? Each of these stories about listening, knowing, and encountering God teaches us fundamental things. Even when confronted by the divine, it is possible for us to be oblivious to the presence of God in our lives. We may actually know that God is always present in that intellectual sense, but sometimes it takes a few times before we actually catch on and pay attention and live that way. We are sometimes skeptical about the message because of who the messenger is. The thoughts of God are indeed greater than the number of grains of sand. And I think we need to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening," a whole lot more. I don't know why this prayer was so fundamental to Carl Jung. I do know that when our knowing God is surrounded by God's call and our listening on one side, and God's call and our decision to follow on the other side, that this prayer, bidden or unbidden, God is present, becomes for us a way to live our life and approach our death. It is a reminder that throughout it all, the dailiness of life, the celebrations, the heartaches, and within the gift of the gathered community, we are always in the middle of a conversation with God, invited to listen, knowing we are loved, called to join in the great journey with Christ. Amen.